buried deep in the dense woods of Pennsylvania's state game lands stands the gargantuan and undeniably intimidating complex of the former Crescent Sanatorium and Prison.
I told the owner that she was sitting on a paranormal gold mine when I saw this place for the first time. I definitely feel a pull between good and evil here.
Comprised of 20 gigantic buildings spread out across 34 acres and complete with a winding tunnel system, this compound is unlike anywhere else in the United States.
From Omaha, Nebraska, the capital city of the historic haunted heartland, my name is Brian Corey, and it is my pleasure to welcome you all to this episode of Necronomicast, the finest in creepy conversations. Episode 240 is here, and my special guests, more than one, everybody, the entire cast of Destination Fear. The hit show returns for season four, and on the Necronomicast hotline, I have Dakota, Chelsea, Alex, and Tanner, all four of them here, to give us the lowdown on season four and what you can expect. So let's not waste any time. Destination Fear is up on this episode of Necronomicast. And now calling in, I got all of them on the Necronomicast hotline, the newsmaker hotline, the cast of Destination Fear. Chelsea, Dakota, Tanner, and Alex, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, yeah.
You guys, I've been looking forward to this, and I'm so glad it worked out with everybody's busy schedules. And to have all four of you on at once, my goodness gracious, how lucky am I? It's like podcast paranormal dream.
You're so lucky. Thank you, though.
I am very lucky. You know, I interview a lot of people in the paranormal world and true crime and whatnot. And what I was excited about to talk to you guys about in your show, there's a lot of paranormal shows and there's zillions of them. If you go and just watch everybody that has one on YouTube, but what I really like about your show is how much fun you guys seem to have. In addition to the scary stuff, the fear that we'll talk about and the predicaments that you guys put yourselves into each and every week. but the fun that you guys have, and you guys have a great like chemistry. And it's just really fun to watch you guys like week after week, show after show, season after season, go to these different places and to watch you guys kind of grow as investigators and to grow as television personalities. And it's really a lot of fun.
Appreciate that.
Thank you. I mean, I feel like that was like the big sell for all of us was like, we knew if we just got a chance to do this show, like it's going to be good because we are all so close. Like what you see on the show is what you get. And like, we just have such a good relationship. Chelsea's been friends with Alex and Tanner before I was even born. And like our families have just been so close. So like, to do, I think it's where, not even for paranormal, but just for most TV, like you don't find a lot of groups that have genuinely been day one friends.
That's true. Also, there's a lot of really intense places we go to. And I think it's really important that we keep things lighthearted when we can, because it's such an emotional roller coaster. Like there are days where it's just, we feel the heaviness of these locations. So it's healthy for us to be able to decompress a little bit and, you know, do these daytime sequences where we're doing things that maybe aren't haunted or spooky or scary, but it's what makes us human. And it makes us more balanced for the craziness that we're put through.
Yeah. Well, like for example, I went back, I've seen all your shows, but I went back and watched, like, for example, one of my favorites, season two was the Sheboygan Asylum in Wisconsin. When you guys,
hell yes.
When you guys went through all that, but with the fun that I'm talking about and what kind of sets you guys apart and what I think people are attracted to, because you guys are super popular, you know, like on Twitter, everywhere else, everybody's always like wondering when's the next season? When's the next season? But because of what you guys, you know, portray when you're going out,
you must be driving a lot. And so there's a lot of rapport with you guys, a lot of funny hijinks and stuff. But when you guys stopped into this bar in Wisconsin and you talked to this guy about UFO encounters, I just thought that was great because he was talking to you guys about things that he's seen. And then like Dakota and Chelsea, you guys shared a story too about a UFO, some kind of strange encounter. Like trailing your car or being on the side of your car. And so it's not just ghosts. It's not just the scary stuff too, but it's just, you know, a lot of great, interesting stories and people that you meet along the way. So, that was one of my favorite episodes from past seasons was that Sheboygan Asylum encounter that you guys had.
Oh, thank you. I mean, I feel like with our show too, like that's what's so fun about it is it is a road trip. Like we genuinely go on the road and you're right. Like we drive for days sometimes between episodes and like to go out and not do the fun road trip stuff, we would be doing such an injustice. And that's half the fun when we plan these trips is like, each time you pick a location, whether it's me, Chelsea, Tanner, Alex, you get to pick the scary spot, but you also get to pick the fun pit stop too.
And a lot of things like, you know, that are broadcasted on the show are very serious and dark and definitely have a more serious tone to it. But being friends with these guys for their whole life, I can confidently say that their best trait is their comedic side and their humor side. So I'm glad that the world gets to see some of that because I think that they all are actually very talented when it comes to funny things, which a lot of people don't get to appreciate.
It's not our intellect, Chelsea.
I'm sorry. No.
That's not it. We're just funny to you. Great.
You're a jester. You're a jester, Al.
This is kind of devolving into that scene from Goodfellas when they're like, what, do I annoy you like a clown? Or
funny like a clown? How am I funny? Yeah.
Or amuse you?
Right. Well, you know, and also like Chelsea, you're rolling with these, you know, one's your brother and you're rolling with these guys. I'm sure some of the humor, and maybe you're not above this. Maybe you're just right down in the middle of it too, but I'm sure some of the road humor is something to behold. That doesn't make it through the cuts of the show.
Oh yeah. There's
there's a lot.
We have there's an ongoing joke since season one that maybe not be Chelsea probably doesn't want to talk about it.
It's just, you know, to be honest, their comfort zone is being funny. So like I feel like when people get warmed up to like sing, they do their little like singing warm up. These guys go through like a warm up of just straight comedy where nobody knows what's going on for like 30 minutes.
Times when we're on the road where like a producer is listening, like because our audio is on, and then we'll like stop at a gas station and our producers will just get out of the car and just look at us and shake their heads like, what the hell is that?
The sights, the sounds, the smells of excuse me, of being on the road.
All of the above.
All of the above.
Fantastic. You know, one of my other favorite shows, now I'm recording this show, you're talking to a guy in Omaha, Nebraska. So not far at all. I go there pretty often, Malvern Manor.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And your Villisca X murder house, where you guys, that was a great episode. I liked how you guys, because they're smaller locations, very important in the paranormal world, but they're smaller locations, not these giant, sprawling, huge asylums or sanitariums, or, you know, there are these two a little bit smaller locations and you guys split your time between those, the Villisca House and Malvern Manor. I just thought those were really interesting shows because when you spend time like I have in those places and you get to know the people that run them, Johnny Hauser and Josh Hurd, and you see them on screen, the places on screen, you see the hallways that I've wandered around. I've seen all these rooms before, and having you guys go through there and having these experiences that you've had in these two famous landmark places in Iowa, I just thought those were really, really super interesting to watch. And I'm glad you guys went to those places.
Yeah. It's funny because when we first like got the show going, one of the things you give to the network is like a pitch deck. And so I had to come up with like five episodes right there. And that was one of them. One of the pitches was doing this dual episode at Villisca and Malvern. And We didn't do it season one or two, but then once we got renewed for three, it was time. We had to do it, but it's been in the making for a long time.
So you guys were there, and there's the theory of the killer perhaps staying at the Malvern Manor, traveling the trains between the two. I know you guys weren't entirely convinced or didn't see enough evidence that you could make definitive statements about that at all. But have you thought any more about the killer going between the two places? Because they are like just 40 minutes apart from each other.
Yeah. I mean, I think we all kind of, I think it's a very interesting like conspiracy there, because we don't know. No one knows what happened, who the killer was. And there are stories of similar murders on the same railroad, whatever. And like, it was weird to hear it. I was really hoping to get some validation when we were there. We didn't get enough of it to really make that conclusion, but I could see that happening. I mean, there's a whole book out there on this topic, and it's really interesting reading about some of the other cases that are very similar murders where the killer got away, and it does make you wonder.
I just think it's interesting that you know, there's that theory out there and people are researching it and whatnot. And you guys, you know, you weren't out there and you checked the places out. And I thought it was interesting on, I think it was Ovilus or was, I forget the piece of equipment, but you guys pulled up the word, reverend on that,
mm-hmm, yeah,
on that particular episode. I was like, oh, hey, that's probably, that might not be a coincidence when you pull up that word at that location.
Right.
Wild part was, is that all of us, like, we split up that night. And so Chelsea and Dakota went there first and they got reverend. And then when Alex and I showed up later on that night, we were asking their questions and we got reverend as well. So it's like that type of double verification stuff was always like mind blowing to all of us.
That whole story was really just like hearing the story and then standing in that house. Like, it was something like I've never felt before. Like the sadness, the disbelief that could happen to a typical small town family. It was a location that was by far, like, I have never felt that type of like sorrow and like sadness. Like, there were times where I didn't even know what to say. I'm like, what could I possibly say right now? Like, I'm crazy.
Yeah, Chelsea, I remember one part of the show you were going through, and I've been in it, you know, quite a few times, but you were going through like, you know, people are so excited when they start a family and they buy their own house. And, you know, it is a smaller house, but, you know, we're talking 1912. So, mm-hmm, you know, we didn't have McMansions back then.
Right.
In Iowa, you know, just like that. So people were excited about buying their first house and living there and raising their family. And then they went to church that night and then they came home with some friends that were spending the night. So they must've had, you know, like, mom, please, can we have our friends stay the night? You know, like I kind of go through those emotions too, cause I have kids and I mm-hmm, think about those things. And so, you know, I could feel it, like your emotions on that were so palpable. All you guys, mm-hmm, just the heaviness of the situation. But I thought it was a remarkable episode. And then you guys go to Ireland at the end of that season, like you go to the cornfields of Iowa to the, you know, the Emerald Isle. And I love the Ireland shows because my wife and I got engaged in Ireland. So I'm like,
oh wow.
I'm like, look at these guys. Look at these guys investigating out there in Ireland. I loved it. So
Ireland's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. And it's, you can just see the history just in the buildings and, you can feel the layers of history and the hauntings, that's for sure. But that was, I definitely want to, I would love to travel internationally again. That was one of a kind for sure. But we loved Ireland.
Yeah, it was great. And then, you know, just watching you guys in these, you know, these old places. I mean, like here in Omaha, if a building's 50, 75 years old, we tear it down to build something new, you know? And here you are, buildings that were in like, you know, the 1500s, the 1400s, you know, I mean, just like these old, old historic places that must have so much energy, you know, positive and negative, just swirling around in there. It's just, it was neat to see you guys go like in that season, particularly, from, you know, these places in United States, and we think 1912 is old.
Right.
All the way to Ireland. So yeah, that was, that's where we left things season three.
Mm-hmm. I mean, especially on that note, especially in Fort Knox, like when we, or not Fort Knox, but Pike Island, when we went there, like we were having things happen to us and we're just like, man, I don't even know what to pinpoint this on. Like, I mean, this fort, this was, you know, place for people in the army. And then all of a sudden it was high security prison. Like it was so difficult to figure out, all right, what and who is making this noise.
Yeah, what decade are we dealing with here? What chapter? So true.
One thing I had to bring up though, I forgot, but going back to like you guys having fun and why your show is different than others. My wife and I both jumped during the Villisca episode when the cat.
Oh, dude, I wanted that cat so bad. I wanted to take that cat home, but we were going to Ireland, so I couldn't.
Yeah, you guys jumped and we jumped at home too.
So. Oh my gosh. I still don't know how that cat got in there. It's a small house. You think we would have seen the cat. Like, but it was weird because the timing was like impeccable. Like, we were so sad in what we were talking about. There was really, like we were talking about before, nowhere to go with the conversation. We were really feeling the sadness. And then this little cat just comes over like, it's okay.
And it literally jumps on me.
What's interesting too is, so you guys were there first. You didn't tell us that there was a cat in the house. Ah. And so me and Tanner walk in and we're kind of exploring in the bedroom on the first floor. We walk in there and we see this cat just motionless. Doesn't look like it's breathing. And we thought the cat was dead. We like walked in, we're like, no way. Did this, like, is there just a dead cat laying here? We get closer and finally it wakes up and just starts purring and like coming up to us. And yeah, that cat was awesome.
Yeah, the cat's just like, oh, what's up guys? How's it going? Like, what are you, how'd you get in here?
So wild, weird twist in the night. You don't actually expect to see anything living that's not humans that you're with.
It's true.
Well, we've had a lot of animal run-ins, though.
So. I know. We have, actually.
It reminded me one night, you guys have heard of the Sally House in Atchison, Kansas. Mm-hmm. Me and a couple of fellow investigators were staying the night there a couple years ago, and we heard like a knocking. And I was like, hello, spirit world. No, it was people at the door and they were inebriated at the door. Oh, wow. It's like, oh, hi guys. Yeah. Nice to see you. And, you can go now. And so,
oh my gosh.
Yeah. It wasn't the results. It wasn't the results of a seance. It was, you know, somebody just saying hi.
You just never know what's going to show up or who's going to show up. We had one episode where a person actually breached like onto the property and this person was dressed in all black and it was just one person on the property. And it was really scary because it was a night where we didn't have flashlights. And that's probably one of the most like, actually like I was scared for my life. Cause I'm like, who shows up to a property by themselves? Like if you come with friends, I get it. Like a lot of people want to do that, but to show up by yourself dressed in black, I'm like, what are the intentions here? I don't know.
Yeah. That was next level.
Yeah. It was terrifying, especially because he broke in too, while we're all doing our sleeping alone arrangement stuff.
I don't know how you did that, Tanner.
Well, cause I knew, cause I was looking at the window because there's moonlight, we don't have any flashlights, and I'm looking at the window and all of a sudden it like blacks out from right to left and then blacks out from left to right. And I'm just like, okay, that's definitely someone. So then I walkie and I go, are you guys messing with me? Are you guys in here? And they're like, no, we haven't moved an inch. And then all of a sudden I'm just like hearing footsteps. I'm like, there's an actual person in this building with me. And then I yelled to scare him off and you could hear footsteps go down the stairs. And when I got the guys to come look, like all of a sudden there's stairs that lead to the outdoors, which led to where we saw them prior in the night. And I'm just like, you gotta be kidding me.
Nope. No way.
Nope.
No. No, thank you.
So you guys are talking about this, and you said a couple times, no flashlights, no flashlights. Was this for season four?
So that actually was season three, and it was Alex's idea at the, oh my gosh,
Oddfellows.
And, but that was the inspiration for season four because of how scary that night was without flashlights. Once we started season four, I was like, all right, let's just do that for the whole season.
Super fun time.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you guys agree. Wow. Very supportive. I can't see your faces, so I'm assuming you're smiling.
So yeah, so season four, one of the wrinkles that you guys are throwing into this season, I was privileged enough to see the first two episodes of season four, which drop on November 25th on Travel Channel and Discovery Plus for season four of Destination Fear. No flashlights, complete darkness in a lot of this, as much as you can have complete darkness on a television show, but yeah, your investigations, like amplifying or trying different things to kind of increase this, unsettled fear that you guys are going towards. Tell me a little bit about, and you kind of said where you got the inspiration, being at the, Oddfellows place down at Belvoir. But yeah, so production company was cool with going with this new wrinkle, and you guys are all in agreement with throwing no flashlights in there. Chelsea, you look a little worried, but
I was never on board with this.
Aha!
Like, I almost broke a dang leg this season. Okay,
it's true.
I was super pumped because they didn't have to buy flashlights, so they were just like, "Yeah, all right, less gear." That's It was always like Dakota would always kind of joke about it, like, oh, you know, what if we did a whole season without flashlights? And we're like, oh, that'd be horrible, wouldn't it? He's like, yeah, it would be horrible. And all of a sudden we're at our first overnight and he's just like, no, yeah, we're not doing flashlights. You gotta be kidding me. It made it so much more difficult, like, because you just were absolutely terrified because you can't see anything, so you're relying on all of your other senses, and then any small thing that happens, like, you can't check it out. It's just, nope, there's a loud noise right over there. All right, hopefully don't get closer.
And it's interesting because, like, through our point of view, like, we can't see anything without a flashlight, nothing. We can't see our own hand in front of our face. But the infrared light that we use where the audience gets to see, it's so much brighter than what it really is. And I hope people know that it's, like, really freaking dark in there.
Yeah. I mean, we did go out of our way this season to, like, show people that too. Like, we would turn the infrared lights off. So I think every episode there's, like, one example of that. So people can just see because, okay, yeah, like, what you're seeing is so not true to the eye. Like, there's a scene with Tanner in this season, and it looks like he's really struggling to walk and he can't see, but what you're seeing is so bright. He shows the audience, like, he turns off IR and it goes from, like, a well-lit bright room to just pure darkness. And that's, yeah, what we're seeing.
I mean, there's times this season where I was using the Ovilus as a flashlight because I was just like, I see where I'm going. Everyone in this season tripped at least once, and one person may or may not have fell down a flight of stairs.
There's a concept of depth perception, and you need both of your eyes and you need two viewpoints to see stereopsis, which is 3D vision. And when you have one screen showing your destination and where you're walking, you cannot appreciate depth very well at all.
What language is that?
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. Can you dumb that down for us?
They're optometry terms that deal with the visual system.
That's right, because Chelsea, you're an optometrist. Is that correct?
Yes. Yep. I am.
Fantastic. Yeah. And I know what you guys are saying. Like, now I'm not on a, you know, big TV show, but when I've gone on investigations and I have like the night vision camera and whatnot, and you're looking through, you know, the viewfinder or the little LCD screen on the side, that's, you know, like 3 inches by 3 inches, and the place is dark and you're wandering and you're kind of using it to see like where the steps are, or you're using the little screen to see, you know, so you don't bump into something or fall down, like you said, a flight of stairs. Or so, yeah, there are absolute perils sometimes to paranormal investigations. And you guys are in these giant places, like this first place that you're at, the Crescent Sanatorium. Is that what it's called? Crescent?
Yes.
Wow. I mean, geez, that place is enormous. I don't even understand. Like, you know, I get lost sometimes, like in a restaurant, a crowded restaurant, finding the bathroom, you know, like, which way do I go? But you guys are in these giant, abandoned, huge places. How do you find your way around? Or like, what's like when you get to a place? For us novice ghost hunters out here, when you get to a place, how do you map out make a strategy about like going to this wing or this part of the building or this part of the campus?
Honestly, it's less strategic than you think. It's actually pretty like, we'll just show up and one thing we try to do is be active the entire night. We don't like to take many breaks. So usually the first hour is just kind of like exploring and getting a lay of the land and trying to pinpoint the places from the packet. But we have had nights where it's way easy, and then some nights where we are so lost and takes us a long time to find where we need to actually go.
Yeah, that's why we shoot for, you know, 12 hours plus every overnight. Is most of it's just wandering around trying to find where we're supposed to go.
Yeah, Tanner, tell them about that.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, Tanner, tell us about that.
We go to the Winchester Mystery House, and that house is built like a maze because the owner of the place was haunted by spirits and was trying to build this really confusing layout so that the spirits couldn't find her. And I mean, there's doors that lead to nothing. There's stairs that lead to nothing. It's so topsy-turvy. It's a fun house. And then, so it's Chelsea's pick. Chelsea goes, all right, guys, Alex, you go to the basement. Dakota, you're going to go to this room. I'm going to go to this room. And Tanner, you're going to go to the tapestry room. And so I start walking and I'm moving around this huge mansion. And I first go, I don't know what tapestry means. I don't know what room I'm even looking for. Like, what's a tapestry room? So now I'm walking around trying to find my way. And we have no flashlight, so we're in the pitch black. And I found Chelsea three times, Dakota twice. I accidentally went outside like three other times. And I think it was like by the time Chelsea like walkied us, going like, hey, you know, let's all meet up at the front room and, you know, let's do something together. I was like, I literally just found where I'm supposed to be. I'm going to stay here because I haven't gotten to the tapestry room. It took like me like 5-6 hours.
Yeah, it was like at least maybe five for sure.
Yeah, I don't know. It felt like an eternity, that's for sure.
That's a lot of tape, Tanner.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to look like the biggest goofball of all time just walking around going, nope, this isn't it. Nope, that's not it.
Should be a counter of how many times you passed it.
Oh, Dakota showed me the footage because he's the one who edits the overnights. And he's just like, do you know you walked past the tapestry room like three times? And I go, I don't even want to hear that. That's not what I say that I never found it.
So as the night goes on and you guys are like road weary and sleep deprived and on edge because of the unknown factor of what's going on in these places, how does that factor in with your investigation? Like the later it goes and the longer you've been there a lot of times I watch these episodes, you guys film a lot of them when it's cold out and just all this stuff that's going on just besides being in the location, but like road weary, super tired or hungry. You know what I mean? Like
totally.
How does that feeds into the fear that you're going for, the fear that you're part of the experiment. Am I right?
Mm-hmm. I think the worst part is when, you know, cause we're doing a road trip and there's like a day or two sometimes of traveling between episodes, but the worst is when something really bad happens early on, because the rest of the trip, obviously you're getting tired, you're getting everything, but then you're also living the experiences and everything starts to blend. And I like, it's just by the end, it's, you're having nightmares every night because of all the nights you've gone through. And I think for all of us too, like we definitely feel the effects of the sleep deprivation just because we film until the sun actually comes up. And then even then, we still have to go outside, do our vlogs, do the slow motion walkout shots. And like, we're not done until like noon at this location. So the RV picks us up at 7, but it's not till noon that we're actually really leaving. And so it's a lot.
Yeah. We like for our overnights, it's pretty much a 24 hour shift. And like, I think everyone on the first couple, we all are bright eyed and bushy tailed and we give it our 100%. But once it gets to the end, and not saying that we don't give our 100% at the end, but it's just so difficult to like think and like have even just a thought process of what's going on, because we've been doing it for a month and a half straight and it gets so hard at the end.
So you guys, I was looking through, I was perusing the list of these locations that you guys hit in season 4 that we're going to be able to see starting on the 25th of November on Travel Channel and Discovery Plus. And I saw a list of places that some of them I haven't heard of before, honestly. You know, I heard of the Winchester House, pretty famous place, but like this, and forgive me, I didn't write it down, but there's a junior high that you guys, yeah. And tell me a little bit about that. It's, you know, a new place that I hadn't seen in print before, but a junior high haunted that Destination Fear found worthy to visit. What's the story with the junior high?
I mean, so I've always wanted to like go to a school and find a good haunt, but this just never worked out. We never found like a perfect haunt, but this school has a very dark history. There was a janitor Maul, who had a lot of really bad things he did there. And he got into a big battle with basically the superintendent and the teachers there because of what he was doing to some of the kids in the basement. And they ended up finding him cut in half on the train tracks right next to the school. And it's this big murder mystery. No one knows who did it. And that on top of some other sad deaths as well. There's some like tragic student deaths with like a swimming incident, a football incident. But the story of the janitor was definitely the focus. And it truthfully, it's one of the scariest episodes because of how constant the activity was. Just this creepy abandoned school and the boiler area where the janitor actually had a little residency down there. That turned out to be really where majority of the activity was.
Wow, man, I've never heard of that story before. And they found him cut in half on a train track?
Yeah, he had been like stabbed, I think, a couple times, but then someone put his body on the track and I think he got hit.
Try to make it look like an accident or something.
Yikes, man.
The train track you can see from the school, it's about 100 feet. Like that's where they found him.
Well, and it's still active, so we could hear trains going by, which was a very eerie thing to hear during the overnight.
Which we think might be like a trigger or something like that, because we were getting so much activity that night where anytime the train passed, we're just like, this has got to just ruffle the feathers of whatever is stuck here.
So like a location like this, like do you guys, you know, Dakota, earlier you said you had a list, you know, like when you were putting the show together and coming up with an idea, you know, for this, and you had like 5 or 6 locations for the producers. But as you further evolve the show and you change some things like no flashlights and like, how do you scout new locations? How do you scout these new locations and find a place where other teams haven't, you know, investigated over and over on television? I mean, this.
Yeah. I mean, I think when we all do our research, that's kind of everyone's goal, is to try to find a hidden gem, something that's never been seen before. And we're also super lucky because from the get-go of season 1, we've made a lot of connections with a lot of other paranormal groups in every state. And there's a few of those who have supplied some of these locations to us. They've told us like, no one's been here. It's brand new. The owners are letting people in. Like, you guys got to go. So it's just honestly our network of people have really, and our fans on Twitter too. Like, we get tweets all the time about places that we've never heard of, that some of them like Sheboygan in that one, like that was a fan recommended location.
I was going to say, like, you guys definitely put your due diligence though into like the time and the effort that you have researched into all these buildings and stuff like that. Like before the show, even, you guys really mapped out so many locations.
Like literally, because me and Alex and when we were planning Trail to Terror, Chelsea and Tanner, they couldn't know. So it had to be me and Alex. And we had a map in my room, a giant map on the wall with pins. Gold meant gold. Like, this is gold. We got to go here. And then we had, it was color coordinated, but every state for weeks we were researching. And then we also had a list too. We had the map and then the list. And we've been using that list ever since. And we still have places on there, dozens that we haven't been to.
So that leads me to my next question, like bucket list locations. You said you got a map with golden pins. You got some with golden pins in the state of Nebraska, or do you have some bucket list ideas?
Let me check. Let's pull up the list.
You guys can answer. I'm going to pull up the list right now.
Pull up the list. Let's see. Let's give it a go. But, you know, like bucket locations and places like, boy, you know, we got to go to, you know, if we get a season 5, if we get a season 6, like we got to hit this place. Or I'm sure you have places mm-hmm. that you want to hit hard
domestically. I think we can all agree, like domestically, we would love to go to Alcatraz.
Totally.
Just because it's everyone's paranormal bucket list location to go to. Internationally, I really just want to go to castles. I don't care where. I just really want to go to some badass castles.
I mean, I definitely agree with that. Doing some sort of, you know, international full road trip would be the goal. That's something I think we can all agree on. Like, that would be so much fun and like just so cool to learn all the history of things that we never were taught here in the States.
Right.
But yeah, castles would be great. Like, just the history alone would scare me enough to not want to go into any of these places.
Like, I've only read about castles. Like, I've known about castles my whole life when I was young growing up. And like, I have all like castles to me seem like fairy tale. And now to be able to like go to one would be like, just be amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
It would be amazing. Dakota, what's your bucket list?
I have to agree. I mean, the UK Travel Channel, if you're listening, come on, let's do it. let's do an international road trip. But if I had to stay in the States, I've always wanted to go to Eastern State Penitentiary. Hmm. They have like a rule there though, that like, if you can't go alone, like you have to have someone there from the prison. And so that kind of defeats the purpose of our show, which is being alone.
Right.
And like, we don't even have an audio guy. We have no one with us on site. Like, it's just us. We have one producer down the road and it's literally our security, basically someone who we can call if there's an emergency. And that the whole reason we didn't want audio or camera people or any of that was because we want to be scared. We won't be scared if there's people with us. So I really want to go there. I hope if they're listening too, we want to come to Eastern State really bad.
Really, really badly.
Oh, yeah.
I agree.
From your lips to their ears, for sure. Yeah.
I really want to go to Dracula's Castle in Romania. I just think that one would be absolutely terrifying. It's super creepy. It has a huge story behind it. And then the fact that there's an actual dungeon down there that was used not good things would be the most, I don't know, it'd be the coolest thing to like just be a part of and actually witness and experience.
Oh, Chelsea, you hear that? A dungeon.
I mean, just because there's a dungeon doesn't mean my name's on it.
I had the opportunity to talk to Greg Lawson, the paranormal detective. Mm. Here's his book right here. But he was telling a story on my show episodes ago. He was in Dracula's castle and his wife was tired and a little bored from the paranormal investigating and she fell asleep in Dracula's castle.
No.
Just like a little cat. Like a little cat nap, you know? And I was like, oh, that's an amazing story, you know?
Oh my God.
I wish I was back. I'd
be too excited to sleep.
Mm-hmm. For real.
We've had like 50 opportunities to try to sleep at a haunted location, and I don't think any of us have successfully done that.
Yeah, it's not.
I did once.
Alex did once.
I did one time.
It's not destination sleep. It's destination fear. Right?
Exactly. Destination fear.
Hey, Travel Channel, if you're listening, we want to try out Destination Sleep.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, awesome. Well, look, you guys, I'm really looking forward. I enjoyed thoroughly the first two episodes of season 4. And it's funny because just looking through Twitter and like all the time, and you guys see this all the time. When are you guys coming out with another season? Is there another season going on? You guys have your fans and they are going to be really excited to see these first two episodes. And I am super excited to check out these other episodes. Winchester House. Very cool. This junior high. Yeah. Weird, crazy story. And I'll be checking out all the Destination Fear season 4 episodes. And I really, really enjoyed having you guys on the program. Like I said, the show is a lot of fun. So many paranormal shows are very, they're very dour or they're very entirely way too serious the entire time. But I like the fact that you guys are young and you're on your road trip and you're going to these interesting places and you're not afraid to, you know, have some fun and show some of the interesting sights like on the way. I just think your show's cool. It's real cool.
Thanks so much. That's like the best compliment ever.
Thank you. Thank you for having us on here too.
Brian from the Necronomicast gives you a thumbs up. So whatever that means.
Thank you a lot.
That means a lot.
Guys, thanks a lot. Thanks to everybody over there at Travel Discovery. I don't think the producer is still on board with us. She took off. But anyway, Tanner, Dakota, Alex, Chelsea, thanks so much for being part of the program. And I look forward to this season and future seasons and specials and everything else you guys got going on. So stay safe, get some rest, drink your coffee, and continue to... have fun out there and do what you do. I love it.
Thank you, Brian. That was awesome.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Brian.
There we go, everybody. Episode 240, the Destination Fear crew here for you on Necronomicast. Mucho thanks to Dakota, Chelsea, Alex, and Tanner for taking the time out of their busy schedules to appear on the show. And thanks to Travel Channel, Discovery Plus. You know, these guys... they get a million requests to be on shows, and for them to take the time to be on Necronomicast and talk to all you guys and talk to me, what a treat. I got one more show for you for the end of the year. Episode 241 will feature author extraordinaire Troy Taylor. He's written a new book, and I'm halfway through it, and oh my God, I can't wait to talk to him. It's called One Bleak Midwinter Night. So... pretty spooky stuff around the holiday season. I wouldn't have it any other way. So join us, cozy up, brew some coffee, and join us for episode 241, which will drop in December. That's my friend Andrew Vo playing saxophone for you. Check Andrew out over at drewsblues.com. And as always, thank you so much for listening to Necronomicast. I appreciate each and every one of you, especially the ones that leave ratings and reviews and subscribe. Ha ha. Have a great night. Thanks for listening, everybody. Goodbye.